Amen, amen, amen. If anybody need a worksheet, didn't get a worksheet, just slip your hand up. Meantime, turn to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. Our friends over at Victory Baptist are going to have a conference. And actually, there's one that would be probably available to you. It would be Wednesday morning, 10 a.m., June 29th. And I haven't actually heard the speaker speak, but I would think that Brother Myers would do a good job picking him. And they have Berean Baptist College men's group there singing. They were there last year, I think it was. They're good singers. So that's over at Victory Baptist in Hanover. And Wednesday, June 29th, 10 o'clock in the morning. So if that's free in your calendar, would.
That includes lunch, too.
Oh, that includes a free lunch. Well, you can't beat that. All right. Well, very good. Very good. All righty. Mark chapter 1, if you will. Mark chapter 1. Again, I'm not sure how much we're going to go verse by verse, but like I am here at the beginning doing a few things here because I want you to see some things. We establish the Gospel of Mark. We're going to read verse number 21, if you will, starting at verse 21 to the end of the chapter. Mark chapter 1, verse 21, it says, "And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they went into the city." What did he do? Taught. Okay, keep that in your mind. "And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. And there was in the synagogue where he was teaching, there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, 'Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God.' And Jesus rebuked him, saying, 'Hold thy peace and come out of him.' And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, 'What thing is this? What new doctrine is this?'" In other words, they learned something from the event. See what I'm saying? That's what they're referring to the events. What are we supposed to be learning from this? "For with authority," watch, he taught us one with authority. It says, "And for with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him." They said there's something different about this man. He teaches with authority, but also he has authority over the unclean spirits. Verse 28, "Immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever. And anon they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. And immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. And at even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils, and all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of diverse diseases and cast out many devils and suffered not the devils to speak before because they knew him." It's real interesting how that is. The devils all knew who he was. If you remember Paul, he said, "Well, Jesus we know and Paul I know, but you bunch of guys, I don't know who you are." You know, and sometimes the devils know who we are. "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed." Who prayed? Yeah. Now, if he needs to pray, what do you think about the rest of us? "And Simon and they," by the way, Remember when the disciples, we talked about this in Matthew, they tried to cast out the demon out of the young boy? Remember that? And they said, "Why couldn't we do it?" So that only comes by prayer and fasting. Apparently, it works for Jesus that way too. Now, you say he's God. Well, I know. He's a spirit-filled man. Verse 36, "And Simon and they that were with him followed after him, and when they had found him, they said unto him, 'All men seek for thee.' And he said unto them, let us go into the next towns. Now, did you see what's happening? He says, everybody's looking for you. Okay, well, let's go to the next town. That I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. So, well, everybody's looking for you. Well, I understand. Let's go to the next town. We have some preaching to do, because that's why I'm here. Verse 39. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand, and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And Jesus straightly charged him, the leper, and forthwith sent him away. And he saith unto him, see thou say nothing of it to any man. Don't go talking about this. But go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony to them. And if you go back and study it, if you had leprosy and you think it's all gone, then you need to go back to the priest and you offer this and they check you out and so forth and so on. They go through a certain series of things to make sure you're clean indeed before they let you enter into the rest of society. Verse 45. But he, the leper, went out and began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. Let's pray, and I don't know how far we'll get here tonight, but let's pray, and we're going to talk about the master's medicine. The master's medicine. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your word. I thank you that it guides us and directs us, keeps us on track, it keeps our focus, helps us understand your will and your ways, your mindset. And Lord, we're so easy, even sometimes in the midst of good things, we can get off track. Doesn't mean we throw all the good things away, but sometimes, Lord, we got to make sure that the good things do not detract from the necessary things, from the main things. And Lord, sometimes we're not careful. We will spend so much time working on the symptoms that we do not deal with the disease. So, Lord, I pray that you'll bless us here this evening. Give us your wisdom, your guidance. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. And we'll get to number one here in a moment. Now, remember, Jesus is God, and yet Jesus set aside many of the supernatural attributes of God in order to live as a spirit-filled man on earth. Jesus was filled and empowered with the Spirit of God. We saw the beginning of Mark. Almost immediately, Jesus enlists laborers into the field because his ministry was to seek and to save the lost. Now, the ministry is more than a one-man show, and even when that one man is Jesus, he says, greater things shall ye do than I have done, because I go to the Father, send the Comforter down to do the work. Now, as we've gone through Mark, we saw the master's master. Jesus is the master, but he had a master that he submitted to, God the Father. Now, as you say, well, he was submitting to himself. Listen, you're going to fry your brain if you try to figure out everything about the Trinity. But the fact is, he can put himself into position that he is in submission to himself. You say, well, how do you do that? He just decided, I'm going to put myself under this, and so he did. So he had a master's master. He submits to the Father. We saw the master's misery. Just like the rest of us, he was tempted by Satan to sin. His response was the word of God. You go back and read, especially in Matthew 4, you'll see the whole conversation. He was in all manner tempted such as we, yet without sin. He lived as a spirit-filled man, leaning on the Father. So we saw the master's misery, just like we have misery. So, well, if I was Jesus, I wouldn't have sinned either. You know, he went through the same things that we did. We saw the master's message. The message was, in Mark chapter 1, In fact, it's that we had John the Baptist's message in verse 4. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And when Jesus came in, chapter 1, verse 15, says, and he says, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. That's what Jesus said. So John the Baptist prepared the heart by repentance. Jesus says, okay, you repented. Now I'm going to give you the answer to what you need. It's the gospel. Now we know by Paul what the gospel is, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's the good news. So he has the message. That's the message. That's why he came. Don't lose track of that. Then we saw the masters and messengers. He's going to do this, but he's going to get these other men out here with him to do the same thing, call them to be fishers of men, just like he's a fisher of men. So Jesus knows who you are when he calls you, and we have that choice to follow him. We found out that God puts us together. He's putting a team together to do the will of God. Now, on our thoughts here tonight, there's two parallel thoughts in this passage that kind of run together. And I primarily want you to see the message, and secondarily, I want you to see the source of power in Jesus' life. We'll talk about two of them as we go along here. Number one, I want you to see the main message. The main message. Now, I say that meaning this. The primary objective of Jesus was to proclaim truth. He came, we held him to the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The primary objective is to give out truth, to seek and to save the lost. That's why Jesus came. Do not lose the focus of that. There's a lot of other things he did while he was here, and there's a lot of good things that we should do. As the body of Christ, we take care of those things. But the primary objective was to win the lost to Christ. If a man gains the whole world and yet loses his own soul, he's still lost. Jesus is not going to take care of all the primary needs, all our physical needs, and not give them the eternal need. If there's a choice, he's going to give them the eternal need rather than the physical need. You follow what I'm saying? It's nothing wrong. I mean, some folks don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And there's a lot of truth in that. But the fact is, if you really care, you're going to have to give them the gospel too. There's way too many people who say, well, I took care of that, and that satisfies me. I feel good. Now, I'm not trying to be mean about this, but there's been so many times I've seen some things on TV, and they had some kind of thing, and they helped somebody, and they put the microphone in a person's mouth and said, what do you think? You know, I just feel so good that I did it. Like, this is, I'd be embarrassed to say that. Well, I just feel so good that I did it. Well, then you did it for you? Now, that's not the way Christ did it. Now, there's nothing wrong with doing good. And you may feel good because you did it. But don't let that satisfy your need to feel good without satisfying their need to be saved. So the main message is to give out truth. So Jesus teaches with authority, and he has authority over truth. Look at chapter 1, verse 21. It says, and they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. What's the first thing he did straightway when he got into town? He taught. That's what he went there to do, to give them the word of God. Verse 22. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. So in other words, that word astonished means to be struck with amazement. It's not like, wow, I never heard anything like this before. Man, this is really something. Well, this is good stuff. I mean, there's people who talk about God, but it's this guy talks like he knows him. This guy talks, there's people who talk about the principles. This guy feels like when he talks, he's talking the word of God right to me. He says, this is astonishing. He says, listen at his doctrine, his teachings, for he teaches as one with authority. With that word authority means with a sense of privilege, competency, control, and liberty. He taught as one who actually knows what he's talking about. Now, we all have different abilities, different skills, and so forth, But the fact is, the Word of God ought to be part of your soul, that when you talk about the Word of God, you know of what you talk. You know of what you speak. Now, number one underneath that, most likely, Jesus' words were with authority because they were the words of God. And the words of the scribes had little authority because they were the words of man. There are way too many things. I hate to say it. Listen, in fact, Nathan and I were talking about this the other day. I'm going to steal your thunder here. He's going to do a series of lessons of basic Bible doctrines in our Sunday school class in a month or so or whatever it is. And a lot of things that people don't understand, and they don't have faith because they don't know what they have faith in. You can say, I have faith, but the faith is only as good as the object of your faith. So if you don't understand the object of your faith, then you don't know what you have faith in. And you can say, I have faith, but when the tough times come along, you're not sure whether you can step out on that faith or not. And so you need to know the Word of God. That's what you need to know. Now, the thing is, I don't mean to be mean, but even today, denominationalism does all kinds of things. Now, there's one of the things we talked about is what they call Baptist distinctives. Now I knew he knew that, but I said, you know how that is. I'm going to tell him anyway. Of course, I'm also the pastor. I get to tell you. But I said, we're not going to teach you to be Baptist. There are things called Baptist distinctives. But I'll tell you why they're Baptist distinctives. They're Baptist distinctives because they're biblical distinctions. We don't do them, we don't do them because they're Baptist. We do them because they're biblical. Now, Lord willing, Baptists are known for being biblical. Now, I know there's some who aren't anymore, but the fact is that's where they started from. The thing was, what does the book say? That's where we're going to go. Now, you know, I was reading in Jeremiah, and I'm doing some study because we're kind of working our way through bits and pieces of that on Sunday night, and I came to the passage where it talked about how the Israelites, the Jews that were left in Judah, after the captivity, there were some left. And they said, well, Jeremiah, what are we going to do? They might come and get us too. He says, well, I'll go talk to God. Well, they said, go talk to God, whatever he says, that's what we'll do. And so he goes, okay, he came back a week later and he says, all right, God says just stay right here in Jerusalem and you'll be fine. And they said, well, I can't work. They just finished saying, well, we'll do it. Whatever he says, we'll do it. But I can't work. So anyway, they said, well, we're going to go down to Egypt. So don't go down to Egypt because everything you're scared of that's going to happen here is going to happen down there. Don't go, don't go, don't go. They go. And they start arguing with Jeremiah. And says, you know what? Back when we worshiped, watch this, the Queen of Heaven, we did just fine. And it says, the Queen of Heaven, the Queen of Heaven. Now, in that context, they were talking about the Egyptian gods, the Gentiles god, Ashtaroth. It was a female fertility god. That's what they were talking about at different names in different places. The Queen of Heaven. Now, don't get mad at me. Do you know what the Catholics call Mary, the Virgin? The Queen of Heaven, the Mother of God. Now, we talk about Jesus being God because he's the Son of God. So is Mary his grandmother or his mother? God the Father has authority over him. But wait a minute, you see what I'm saying? There's crazy things here. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just saying we've got to know the Word of God, not the Word of man. Number two. So we have the main message, salvation by Christ. Number two, I want you to show the message of the medicine. Hang tight with me, you understand what I'm saying. The message of the medicine. Now, I'm using the word medicine here because we have three people who get healed, if you will. God's out fixing. That word medicine can be defined the remedy. He gave him good medicine. He gave him the fix that he needed. He gave him the fix to the problem. Okay? It's a medicine. The message of the medicine. Verse 23. And there were in the synagogue, where he went straightway to preach, a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out. That word unclean means impure. Lewd, foul. It's amazing what people will do when they're controlled by something other than the Holy Spirit. And again, I don't want to get into all this stuff. I'm sure we've all heard about all the stuff that happened out at Chesapeake Estates here. You know, that lady who killed her 3-year-old daughter, and they found her in the road naked. They found bite marks on the little girl. And before they said anything, I told my wife, I bet there's synthetic marijuana involved. And then later, 2 days later, I think it was, they said, well, we found synthetic marijuana. Because that's the same thing that's happened to other people who have had that stuff. They take all their clothes off, they bite themselves, and even cannibalize other people. The drugs open your, it's almost as if it opens your soul to be possessed. Throws down all the inhibitions. This man had an unclean spirit, a lewd spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace." And that word, that phrase, "her hold thy peace," means a muzzle your mouth. Put a muzzle on your mouth. He says, "I don't want to hear it." Now he was telling them, "I know who you are. This is Jesus, the Son of God." So, "I don't want you. Don't talk. Don't talk." Do you remember when Paul was going through town and the crazy lady was chasing him around and said, "These men represent the Son of God." And he finally said, "Get out of there." And he cast the demon out of her. He said, "Well, why is that bad?" Well, I'm going to show you here in a second. He said, "Muzzle your mouth, come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. Now, the secondary thing here that I want you to understand is Jesus has authority. He has authority in his word. But letter B, Jesus has authority over the supernatural powers. Jesus does have that authority. And by the way, there's more of that that goes on around here than we probably know. If you go to other societies, again, Nathan and I were talking about this, but you go to other parts of the world, it manifests itself in other ways. Dr. Belcher talked about a time when he and a buddy went to Haiti, and they were walking down through the market place, and this guy was doing his thing, and he would take his tongue out, and he would take his knife and go right through the tongue and pull it back out, and would close right back up. And people thought, well, he had such power, there must be something there that I want. Now, the thing is, that's just kind of gross. The fact is, there's a lot of crazy stuff going on in America now that didn't used to have. We have become more barbaric in a lot of ways than we ever have been before. But Satan's also smart enough to know that that would probably gross out most people. So he comes to us much more subtly. And we'll say, well, they just have this emotional disorder. They just have this. Or they just have that. Or they have these. I'm not saying everybody who's got a problem is demon possessed. I'm not saying that. But there's more probably going on than we know. And when you talk about the name of Jesus and they just get, you better watch out. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm not trying to get all weird on you here. I'm just saying there's more of it than we probably know. The Spirit of God is sovereign over all beings, both natural and supernatural. Now, this was a man whose heart had been possessed, filled by a demon with lascivious thoughts, lascivious images, desires, propensities. This guy had a problem, and it was taking control of him. And the fact is, as soon as we're willing to yield to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, God can clean us. But, you know, so often it's like, well, it's like these guys. Let us alone. Don't bother us. I'm fine just like I am. Now, I don't like some of the things the Spirit makes me do, but I'm not willing to give up the Spirit because there's other things I like. I hate to use the word satanic mentality, but it is. That's the way Satan was. Don't bother me with the facts. If he was willing to accept the facts, he'd stop right now. Because he's already a done deal. He's already fried. He's toast. It just hasn't happened yet. And you know, we do the same thing. Mankind. we'll dig our heels in, and we know we're not going to make it. We know we're not going to get ahead, and yet we'll fight to the death to do as we please. And that demon did that. Now, the preaching of God's word irritates those who desire to live contrary to it. It just does. And so we need to realize that, listen, Jesus has authority, and he can do as he pleases there. But look at verse 27. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine? In other words, what instruction? What's been taught here? What is Jesus trying to teach us here? For with authority he commandeth even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. So they realized that his actions were intended to teach them a lesson. Hang on to that. His actions of casting out this demon. Now, he went to teach and preach. But while he was there, he came across this man who was demon-possessed. Now, he stopped and he cast out the demon. And even they realized that he's trying to tell us something here. So in other words, even the casting out of the demon was the process of teaching us something. What's it supposed to do? He has power over all things. He has authority over all things. This is the one I need to submit myself to. This is the one that can cleanse me. This is the one that can release me from the issues that I have going on in my life. There's an awful lot of people, there's an awful lot of good programs who are going to try to convince you to dig in your heels, pump yourself up, and fight that which is actually chaining you. Sometimes to pretend it's not there. But the real problem is the sin. And the problem is not to get rid of the symptom. That's not the issue. The goal was to get rid of the sin. You get rid of the sin, you get rid of the symptom of the sin. So Jesus comes to cleanse your heart. And so many people say, well, you know, I'll get him to cleanse my life. I've had people say, well, I'm not fit to go to church yet because you know, I got a lot of things I got to clean up. You can't clean them up. You can cover them up. You can kind of put them in a drawer for a while. But they're going to come out and haunt you. They're going to come back. And usually, as the old parable says, he cleaned out the house, but seven more devils came in even worse than before. Because all you did was just clean up. You didn't allow yourself to be now possessed with the Holy Spirit. Let him come in and take up control, take up the space, because if he doesn't come in, something else is going to come in and take up the space all over again. So we've got the message is the medicine. The message of the medicine there is Jesus Christ. Verse 28 says, immediately the fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. So truth seems strange at first when you're not accustomed to hearing it. And they say, what in the world is this? This is crazy. This is strange. What kind of strange doctrine is this? Remember when Paul was at Athens at Mars Hill and he started talking about the resurrection. Boy, he's got some kind of strange doctrine. Most of the world's lost. Of course it's strange to him. Now the purpose of the cleansing, though it was a blessing to the one who had been cleansed, was more about instructing the people about who Jesus is more than about the cleansing. Now the cleansing was good for the guy, and God used it that, but he was instructing them with the event. You follow what I'm saying? Number three, the meaning of the medicine. The meaning of the medicine. Look at verse 29. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, so he went into the synagogue to teach. While he was in there, they come across this demon-possessed man. He cleanses him of the demon. And everybody said, wow, what is this? He's trying to teach us something here. Forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever. And anon they tell him of her, and he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her. And she ministered unto him. Now, unto them. Now, watch me. He didn't necessarily go to do to heal her from the fever. They were probably going to go have dinner at Peter's house, Peter and Andrew's house. But they got there and found out that his mother-in-law was sick. So verse 31, he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her. And she ministered unto them. And even when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that was diseased and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door. Why was the city gathered at the door? To get the symptoms fixed. To get the symptoms fixed. Diseased. Now, there's nothing wrong with having God help you with the symptoms. But that's not his main purpose. Just hang tight with me here. So 33, and all the city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many that were sick of diverse diseases and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. There again, there's the same thing. Don't you talk, guys. I don't want, you're not the ones going to give out the gospel. You're going to mess it up. They're going to start associating the truth of Jesus Christ with these demons. And you say, well, the demons can't be that bad because they talked about Jesus. They told us who Jesus is. Now watch out. Just because you listen to somebody on TV someplace or on the radio or something, and they talk about Jesus and even tell you who he is, you make sure the rest of him lines up with the Word of God, because it doesn't. Don't just shut him off. When he says, when he told that first demon, it said, hold your peace. That literally means shut your mouth. That's really what it means. Shut your mouth. Muzzle it. Now, this sounds a little weird. I'm just telling you, I want you to understand this. And he healed many with diverse diseases. Now, watch. Letter B. Jesus has authority over human ills. He does. And letter C. You have those there? I think you do. And the healing of the medicine has a greater purpose. The healing and the medicine has a greater purpose. Number one, we are saved to serve. We are healed to help. What happened to Simon Peter's mother-in-law? He healed her along the way so that now she can serve the Lord. That's why she was healed, to serve the Lord. Now remember, first mention has an awful lot. So in the beginning of these books, I know that in the beginning of the Bible it's even more so, but in the beginning of the book, God is setting up a principle or many principles. He's setting up a theme. Just like in Matthew, it was all about him being the king. Mark is all about Christ being the servant. And as Christ is the servant, we are to be servants as well. And so we were healed to help. We were saved to serve. His purpose when he came to town was to preach the gospel. Now, he's going to help some folks, heal some folks along the way, and that's all fine and dandy, so that it is an encouragement to them. The demon possession, it showed everybody, it taught them some things. He came teaching, but it also taught them, you know, a picture means a thousand words. Well, you know, you're right there. You saw it. He has power over all the demons. So it's teaching us some things. Number four, I want you to see medicinal maintenance. This is kind of on the side. We're going to take a little side trip here. But I wanted you to see this while I was in there. Now, Jesus came as a spirit-filled man. Jesus is doing this, what he's doing, as a spirit-filled man. Did not the disciples also heal people? Some in the gospel while they were there. And then later when Jesus was already ascended. Why? To show the world that they were a continuation of the ministry of Christ. But healings and tongues shall cease. Now, does that mean he can't do it? Oh, no, he still does it. But they were trying to establish the apostleship of the disciples so that when they wrote the word of God, we knew that it was coming from somebody who was with God. I mean, even the people of the time, they saw Peter and John, and they took notice that they were unlearned and ignorant men, and that they had been with Jesus. So that was for that. But the fact is, here we've got to realize that Jesus is working as a spirit-filled man. So how do you do that? Look at verse 35. In the morning, rising up a great while before day, Jesus went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. If he's fully God, why does he have to go through that process? because he has submitted himself to the Father, just as we are supposed to submit ourselves to the Father. So as a Spirit-filled man, Jesus needed his daily walk with God. And so do we. When he left, we're supposed to take over his job, and greater work shall we do. I wonder what we could actually do if we all had a real live daily walk with God. I've got a couple. A year and a half ago, I was trimming some of those little pear trees out along the road. Some of you know where I live, and right along the road, there's some flowering pear trees, and they just kind of work their way back. You know how their limbs go all the way to the ground, you know. So I was out there, and I was lopping off a limb, and my clippers kind of went through it at a different. It was hard. I was pushing hard. All of a sudden, it went through, and I squeezed my finger between the two arms of that clipper. Boom, it went down, and it snapped, and it hurt. But then it kind of passed. But then by the time I woke up the next morning, it just ached. My whole arm ached. And so I have done something to this here, and I think arthritis is getting in there. And it's just there. It hurts all the time. And, you know, you've seen people who have arthritis, and most of their body doesn't work real well. They have certain joints that do. But the body can only do so much. You say, well, this part works really well. That's good, but the rest of the body, this part, maybe one finger works well, but this finger is kind of limited in what it can do when the rest of the body isn't in good shape. All right, now watch out. We may have some folks in our body who are in good shape, but we're only as good and valuable as a body as all the parts are in good shape. So we need to make sure that we are getting our daily maintenance. When I say it that way, confess our sins, he's faithful and just forgive us our sins. It's good to do that on nighttime after it's all over. Or it's real nice to do it as you go, because then you won't forget. But if nothing else, do it when you get done the day. But you ought to do it as you go, because you got a whole day to live there. You got a sin you need to confess. You don't want to waste the rest of the day. So we need to keep ourselves clean before him. We need to keep the word, washing the water word in us. And the Holy Spirit is the oil that makes everything work. So we need to live as a Spirit-filled man. We need a consistent regimen of time with God. That's what Jesus. Number five. I want you to see the message is the medicine. The message is the medicine. Look at verse 36. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. Now, why were they seeking for him? They heard about all the cleansings and this and that and other thing. They were coming to get him. Look what Jesus said. And he said to them, well, let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth. Jesus is the great physician. He's the healer. But the fact is, a lot of the healing needs to go on in here. Now, he can take care of the temporal, but the fact is, that's going to end up in the grave eventually. This isn't. And what we do here is where it counts. So he says, I want the message. See, the message is salvation. The message is Christ. So the real medicine is the message. The message is the medicine. Listen, watch this. If you're saved, you know Christ is your Savior. You accept yourself as a sinner and him as the Savior. You're trusting what it did on the cross for full payment of your sin. You're saved. And if you're saved, the Holy Spirit has entered you, just like he did in John 20:20 when he breathed on him and said, receive you the Holy Ghost. Now, if you're possessed by Jesus, the mind of Christ, the Holy Spirit, his Spirit, you cannot be possessed by an evil spirit at the same time. God's not going to share his apartment with a crazy man. So listen, if you're probably saying, well, this person's demon-possessed. Well, they didn't get saved. Well, they got a problem. We got to get them saved. Get them to the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who controls it all, who speaks with authority, who changes lives, which regenerates us and makes us a new creation in Christ. And you say, well, that just sounds so complicated. Are you a sinner? You're headed for hell? Would you like to change that? Well, here we got to do. Jesus is Lord. No one can confess that Jesus is Lord without the Holy Spirit. Bible says so. He's Lord. We got to believe who he is. And so the message is the medicine. Healing is fine and shows his power. But that is only so folks will take the real medicine. We don't want to become distracted with the peripherals. Watch, the miracles are in some ways are just the sugar that helps the medicine go down. Mary Poppins. But the sugar is not the medicine. Now, you ever hear the placebo effect? You give somebody a sugar pill and they think they're feeling better because they want to feel better and they believe that they're going to feel better. But the fact is they're really not any better. Some people do the same thing with the peripherals. We went someplace and I think I saw somebody get healed. And we get all excited. I saw this or I saw that. Look for some kind of feeling. And I feel so good because I had a person one time tell me, I know I'm saved because when 10 years ago I was in an automobile accident, I forget what it was, they put him in a hospital and I was in bad shape. They told me I was going to die and I woke up and there was this shining light at the end of my bed and there this figure stood in a white dress and all this light around him, and I know I saved. So, well, let me ask you a question. If you're outside the gates of heaven and you ask them why they should let you in, what would you tell them? Well, I don't know about that. But I know what I saw. Well, Satan can come as an angel of light. I'm sorry, it's only the blood of Christ. But I believe. You can believe all you want. You're all given a certain measure of faith. But what you put your faith in is the object. If they don't have a good object of faith, your faith is worthless. It's worthless. Watch this. Too much sugar can be a counterproductive to the medicine. Some people, again, they get all hepped up about the sugar. All the candies around there, and they get all excited about that. But the fact is, they get distracted from the real medicine. Number six. Make much of the medicine. Make much of the medicine. Verse 39. And Jesus and he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. Now wait a minute. When he preached, what was going on? Well, when he said cast out devils, why did he say that? Because listen, you start preaching, they start believing, the devils start believing. You start preaching, they start believing, the devils start leaving. You can't believe in both. You can't be trusting in both. Verse 40. And there came a leper unto him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, see thou say nothing to any man. Isn't that crazy? You know what he's saying? I don't want you to go around saying, hey, they're selling cotton candy. There's a guy out here giving ice cream cones. There's a guy out here giving candy bars away. He says, I do not want us to get distracted from the real medicine. Verse 43. And he straightly charged him, forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, see thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, Show thyself to the priests and offer for the cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. He says, I want you to go show those priests, those stiff-necked, hard-headed guys who don't want to believe me. He didn't say it that way, but that's what he was saying. And let them see what Christ does. Let them see the power of God. Jesus wanted to prove to the religious leadership that he has power and authority. And Jesus was using the cleansing as a validation of who he was, so the religious leadership would have the evidence it needed in order to believe in him. Now, that doesn't mean that they would necessarily trust Christ. But he wanted to show them truth. And Jesus has the authority over destructive effects of sin, like leprosy. Leprosy is always a picture of sin. It eats away at you little by little by little. It's a filthy germ that eats away your body little by little. That's what sin does. Well, that's just a little speck. It's really not a big deal. In fact, we have to watch it and see if a hair grows out, if it turns white, and, you know, I mean, we'll just kind of watch it. And we need to be cleansed now. Don't wait for that thing to grow. Verse 45. But he went out and began to publish it. The cleansed leper went out and published and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in the desert places. And they came to him from every quarter. Jesus did not want the focus on the wrong thing. People get focused on fixing the temporal things, and they don't notice the eternal things. They throng to him to be healed, and people are still like that. They come to church to feel better, physically and emotionally, instead of coming to God for the cleansing. John 6:11 says this. You don't need to turn to it, but John 6:11 says, and Jesus took the loaves and went. That's not what I'm talking about. Yeah. This is the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said unto the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above that they had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle, that Jesus did, said, this is of truth that prophet that should come into the world. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into the mountain himself alone. He said, well, isn't he king? They weren't looking about him being the authority of their life. They were looking for a king who's going to take care of them physically. He says, that's not what I came. He got out of there. I'm not part of that. We've got to be careful. We must be careful not to be sidetracked by the relief of the symptoms. We need to make sure that the medicine is allowed to do its complete work. Jesus wanted the focus on the sin and the salvation rather than on the release from the oppression. You take care of salvation, and sanctification, they start changing, it will take care of most of that other stuff. What doesn't automatically get taken care of, I think he'll take care of supernaturally. Now, we're going to give you just a couple things here and we'll be done. Number 7, the master's medicine is spiritual. The master's medicine is spiritual. Physical healing comes by way of spiritual power. We've got to let him do something on the inside. Too many people cause themselves so much trouble because they simply aren't willing to come to Christ and let him be their Savior and Lord. Number 8, the power of the master's medicine is administered through the word of God. The power of the master's medicine is administered through the word of God. Did he want people to be healed? Yes, he did. Did he want people's lives to be fixed? Yes, he did. But what did he do? Every time he said, listen, okay, all right, I took care of that. But what we got to do is get some preaching done here. Over and over and over, the foolishness of preaching. That's what he's looking at, the preaching of the word of God. Not just foolishness of ranting and raving. Not the foolishness of talking loud. Not the foolishness of ripping off people's faces. The foolishness of presenting the gospel, the truths of the word of God, which are contrary to the natural thinking of man. Number nine, stay away from bad sources of medicine, even if it looks like good medicine. Stay away from bad sources. That's why he told all those demons, don't talk. Don't chat. Don't go there. Shh. I don't want to hear it. Well, we're just saying, they're just telling us, everybody, that he's Lord and Savior. I don't want to hear it out of them, because it will distract somebody and bring them and get them off from the source of the real medicine. I know it sounds crazy. You might sound picky, but you've got to be careful. You have to be careful. There's a lot of charlatans over the years who've taken an awful lot of money because they've given everybody sugar candy and named the name of Jesus, and people like the candy. All those that will live godly shall suffer persecution. People, we don't like that one. Number 10, Jesus' purpose was to preach the gospel. His purpose was to preach the gospel. He was not teaching healing and someone came to him. You know, he wasn't talking about that. There's a lot of folks who just talk about healing. Send the seed money in. We'll give you money. That is not, listen, are there some principles in there that are true? Yes. You reap what you sow. Malachi 3, you give unto him your tithe. He says, I'll open the windows of heaven. Yes, there's truth in there. But that's not the message. The message is Jesus Christ, the gospel. John the Baptist preached repentance, and Jesus came back and said, preaching repentance and believe the gospel. That's the message. That's the medicine. He was not teaching healing. Jesus was preaching salvation. And by the way, the preaching bothered the demon, and he spoke up. What do you matter? What? Stop it. You coming to hurt us? Well, he was just preaching the gospel in the synagogue. He wasn't preaching against demonology when that demon said, hey, what are you trying to do? Who are you? We know who you are. What are you trying to do? Cast us out, destroy us before our time? They know their time's coming. The Lord's day's coming. You know, every dog's going to have his day. Well, the Lord's going to have his day. Number 11, we cannot allow ourselves to be distracted from the main thing. We cannot allow ourselves to be distracted from the main thing. We may need to help feed somebody. We may need to help meet some physical needs. We may need to help them overcome oppression with the strongholds of Satan. We may have to do that. But fixing the circumstances doesn't cure the disease. Number 12, the purpose is to cure the disease and not just relieve the symptoms. The purpose is to cure the disease. Sin has many symptoms, but it's the same disease. Listen, right now in my life, and never has been, alcohol is of no desire to me. But I know a fellow who used to make fun of people and actually look down his noses at people who drank alcohol. And later in life, he had an alcohol problem and needed to be cleansed of that. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying that the cure is our walk with God. Now, if you're not already saved, you need to get saved. If you are saved, you need to go back and do your daily maintenance again. You need to be back in there spending time with him, living as a spirit-filled man. As you let the spirit fill you, it pushes out the junk. It really does. Well, I tried it for a week or two. Oh, there's too much junk in there. You're going to get it out in a week or two. That stuff's been hanging around there. It's got dust on it. It's been there so long. There's stuff in the back corner you forgot was even there. The demon-possessed man had lewd thoughts, things that were filthy, things that weren't there. Listen, Christ is not in the middle of that kind of stuff. That kind of stuff showing up, we need some curing here. Listen, the same disease has the same cure no matter how that symptoms may be. And the same cure requires the same medicine, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Number 13, Jesus is careful about not promoting symptom relief. Let me say that again. Jesus is careful about not promoting symptom relief. Jesus has to fight the natural tendencies of the sinners to seek relief without seeking regeneration and a redeemer. How many people come to church, or are you, in hopes to have relief from the demons in their lives, if you will? But when you give them the medicine, they can't swallow it. They want relief from sin sickness. They're seeking temporary rather than eternal results. Life is not about living physically free from hurt and harm, but living close to the Holy One. The Master's medicine. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for being with us here tonight. Lord, help us to keep things in focus, in the right perspective, in the right priority. Help us for what we need to do.